This is all of it from WNYC. I'm Kusha Navadar in for Allison Stewart, who's on medical leave. It's Monday, which means we on Team All of It are happy to bring you Mental Health Monday. And today we're talking about a book investigating new science about menopause. Now, menopause is a time when many women feel battered by the effects of hormonal changes like sleeplessness and brain fog. And what's now becoming clear is that menopause changes the brain in the same way it changes reproductive organs. The book is called The Menopause Brain: New Science Empowers Women to Navigate the Pivotal Transition with Knowledge and Confidence. This book is split into four parts. You'll see topics like the bias against women in menopause, the brain hormone connection, hormonal and non-hormonal therapies, and integrative health. The author is Dr. Lisa Mosconi. She's an associate professor of neuroscience in neurology and radiology at Weill Cornell Medicine, and she's the director of the Alzheimer's Prevention Program at Weill Cornell Medicine, New York Presbyterian Hospital, and she's with us now. Dr. Mosconi, welcome to All of It.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And listeners, we want you to be a part of this conversation too. We'd love to hear from you. Are you experiencing menopause or perimenopause? How prepared did you feel for this stage of your life? Was it something you were prepared for? Was it something unexpected? And what's something you maybe wish you knew beforehand? We'd love to hear your story. So give us a call, you know, shoot us a text. The number is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC, or you can DM us on Instagram. We're at All of It WNYC, X as well, same handle. And just a quick disclaimer, just to note, Dr. Lisa Mosconi is joining us to share her research, but what you hear today isn't a substitute for medical or mental health care, so you can reach out to your medical professionals for that as well. So let's get started, Dr. Mosconi. You have a dual PhD in neuroscience and nuclear medicine. So cool. It's a branch of radiology. Your work involves brain imaging. When did your research start to focus on menopause?
My research started to focus on menopause in 2016. And the reason being, I have been studying women's brain health for the vast majority of my career, so over 20 years. And I started really young because I have a family history of Alzheimer's disease. Mm. I was just listening to your previous conversation about this terrible disorder, which happens to affect more women than men. Mm. Something that many people don't realize is that almost 2/3 of all Alzheimer's patients are women. And I always wanted to know why and what is the individual risk for every woman, and what kind of factors may be triggering this risk. And my research led me to study and research menopause as a female-specific risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. So that was 2015, 2016. And soon afterwards, we published the first study, believe it or not, that used brain imaging, brain scans, to look at the brain of women before and after menopause. That was 2017, which as a woman was really quite upsetting, right? That there was nothing done prior.
Sure.
Other studies had looked at menopause in terms of the effects or the outcomes of menopause, what happens after menopause on the brain, in the brain. But we really wanted to know what happens to the brain as women go through it. Mm. And why do so many women experience symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats, insomnia, depression, anxiety, brain fog, memory lapses, because those are symptoms of menopause, which have nothing to do with the ovaries. Mm. Those are symptoms that come from the brain. They are neurological symptoms. We're just not used to talking about them as such.
And in your research in that 2017 study, you saw that there was this shift in the brain during that period. Can you break that down a little bit? I mean, one thing that you do in the book is differentiate between perimenopause and menopause. Is that attached to that study?
Yes, and it's a very important distinction because The way that we describe menopause in clinical terms is basically that at some point, as a woman, you stop having a menstrual cycle and that's it. It almost sounds like just one day on the calendar. Something similar to puberty, when many, many years prior, one day you wake up and you have a menstrual cycle, and that's the day. But in reality, menopause is a very long transitional state, is a process that goes through several phases, but they're usually simplified as perimenopause, when your menstrual cycle starts, when you start skipping periods, your menstrual cycle becomes less predictable. And then menopause, which is the final menstrual period. And then the postmenopausal stage is the entire rest of your life, which for many women is 30% or even more than 30% of your entire lifespan. So this is a long process to go through.
And we just got a text actually from a listener that is on this topic exactly. It reads, I'm a woman in my mid-30s and have experienced a lot of change physically and mentally in the last 2 years. When does menopause actually start affecting us as pre-menopause, and how can we know? How can we prepare?
Yes, and that's a wonderful question. This process is very variable from woman to woman. In the United States, the average age of menopause is 51, 52, but globally it's actually 49, right? So it's a lot earlier than any woman has any notion of, for sure. At 49, you're effectively quite young to think about whether or not you may be going through menopause. And the important thing to realize is that perimenopause, which is actually the transition to a menopausal stage, can last up to a decade. I have friends and we have patients who are starting to go through the process in their 30s, and they have absolutely, what they had absolutely no idea what hit them. So for some women in your 30s, you may actually be experiencing some symptoms of perimenopause. And that is a very important time to really focus on self-care and make sure that you do everything you can, if you wish to support yourself, of course, to ease your transition to menopause and really support your body and your brain for the years to come, because it can take years.
And we got another text just now that goes to this. So you're kind of on the ball with the ways that listeners are thinking this through right now. The text says, right. I was not prepared at all. I just thought it was just sweating. It's a physical, right. Mental, and emotional turmoil. I was tearing up in meetings and in conversations that were emotional, which was bad because I am a therapist, the listener that's texting right now. I am suffering from exhaustion as I wake up 7 times a night at least and still have to work. I found myself this week thinking to ask my doctor for time off. So you were saying, Dr. Moscone, ways to take care of yourself. What does that look like? When you hear texts like this, what does your research suggest could be helpful ways forward?
There are several things that all women can look into to support and ease their transition through menopause. And usually there are things that are pharmacological in nature, like prescription medications. And then there are things that are not and revolve around lifestyle, behavioral adjustment, behavioral therapy. I think every woman is different and every woman has different risks and different concerns and also specific risk tolerance, right? Some women prefer a prescription. Some women prefer to do things differently. And everything, there is no right or wrong. That's the important thing to know, that whatever solution works for you is the solution for you. And I really encourage all women to look at all the options. So hormone replacement therapy is a viable option for many women. And in 2022, professional societies really revamped their guidelines, and they're now stating that for most healthy women younger than 60, or at least within 10 years, the final menstrual period, then taking hormone therapy is a viable resource. And more often than not, the benefits really outweigh the risks. So the sweating, the hot flashes is really alleviated by hormone therapy for most women. Other therapies involve sometimes testosterone therapy, sometimes it's birth control. That can help as well. And for non-hormonal therapy, there are a few options, like gabapentin is an option, but so is this new medication. It's called Veozah, or fezolinetant, which is non-hormonal but can really help with the hot flashes. And then there's a range of things like cognitive behavioral therapy. Hypnosis is also recommended by professional societies. And then lifestyle. Exercise is very helpful. A healthy diet is very helpful. Sleep support is helpful when sleep is a concern. So there's a whole range of options that I do describe in the book as well.
And there, this is a major section of your book as well. There's integrative and lifestyle sections about therapies and hormonal, non-hormonal therapies, which you're starting to get into. And I just want to thank everyone who's sending us messages right now and sharing their stories with us. We're going to take a quick break and then get into some more of those messages. We're talking to Dr. Lisa Mosconi, who's a neuroscientist and women's brain health expert. Listeners, we want to hear from you. If you're a woman experiencing menopause or perimenopause, tell us how it's affecting your life. Do you have questions for us? Give us a call, 212-433-9692, and we'll be right back after this. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navidar, and we're talking to Dr. Lisa Mosconi, who's a neuroscientist and women's brain health expert, about menopause and the effect that it has on the brain with new science from her studies. She put out a book, The Menopause Brain: New Science Empowers Women to Navigate the Pivotal Transition with Knowledge and Confidence. And listeners, we're taking your calls. We want to know about your experience with menopause. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. The number is 212-433-9692. Or you can hit us up on social. Our handle is at All of It WNYC. And Dr. Mosconi, we do have a couple calls ready to go. Let's talk to Aaron in Brooklyn. Hi, Aaron. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I want to thank you for studying this, Dr. Mosconi, because so little seems to be known about menopause, even though it affects, you know, half the population. And I have a symptom that even my female doctor, who's older, didn't know whether it was related to menopause, but a friend of mine who had a similar symptom thought it was. I'm in my early 50s, and I've been going through mere perimenopause for a number of years now. I don't have hot flashes, but I do have trouble sleeping and like the brain fog. And then I've had this other symptom where I feel like my head, it's hard to explain without sounding crazy, but it feel like my head is floating. I feel spacey. I feel like my brain is kind of rolling as I'm walking like down the street, say, and I just feel untethered. And it will, you know, last for a few minutes, up to 20 minutes, and then I kind of feel normal again. And I wasn't sure if something like this could be related to menopause or perimenopause, or if you'd ever heard of it since you studied it more.
Aaron, thank you so much for that call and describing that. Dr. Mosconi, any insights there?
It might be. So menopause really impacts the brain in ways that we are just starting to fully appreciate. But we do know that menopause is a neurologically active state. And what Erin was describing are some neurological symptoms that we define sometimes as vertigo, dizziness. They go hand in hand with this kind of changes in perhaps blood pressure or other things that can occur, leading to a feeling that there's something going on in your brain. And it's interesting how different women describe these symptoms using their own words, because we actually lack a specific medical vocabulary to really do justice to what women experience during this transition. I would say it is possible. It is good to get a neurological examination in this case, because it may be menopause, it may be something else. So what we do that is very helpful is brain imaging. And maybe that's something that Erin's doctor may look into.
And Erin, we want to thank you for that sharing and for calling us. We also have Jane in Brooklyn. Hi, Jane. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm so appreciative of this conversation, because before I became menopausal, my only access to menopause was the All in the Family episode where Edith went through it. I really didn't know anything about it. My mother never talked about it. So I'm thankful for the conversation. I'm Black, and last year I just went through horrible times. I was 56. My sleep was affected. I was also a super hot flasher for me, meaning that I would have intense hot flashes anywhere from 4 to 5 times a day, literally in front of people, just breaking out into puddles of sweat. Against my primary doctor's recommendation, I did seek out hormonal therapy replacement, and it's been a game changer for me. But what I am concerned about is I've read that Black women tend to be super hot flashers more so than other ethnicities, and also that tied to Alzheimer's that you were talking about. Is there a connection ethnically in terms of the way you experience menopause, and how concerned should I be about the Alzheimer's connection, seeing as I was a super hot flasher?
Thank you so much, Jane. And one thing that I wanted to point out Jane's call too is that connection that she's asking about with menopause and Alzheimer's. So I think a lot of listeners would find that valuable as well.
Yes, and these are really, really good questions and really good points. We know that there is a correlation between ethnicity and some of the symptoms of menopause. And we do know that Black women and Hispanic women tend to experience more severe symptoms sometimes. So that has been noted. The correlation or the association between menopause and Alzheimer's disease is under investigation for sure. And we are doing quite a bit of research in that field. And we look at menopause as a trigger for Alzheimer's, as a risk factor for Alzheimer's for some women, right? But it's also really important to know that all women go through menopause, but only some women, about 20% of women, develop Alzheimer's disease in old age. So clearly there's something else that's also impacted and important, and we need to do more research for sure to really appreciate all the different components. I would not over worry. I think it's important to keep in mind that there are many things that everyone can do to really support their brains for life and reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease especially by leading a healthy lifestyle. So things like diet, exercise, sleep hygiene, stress reduction is really important. And those are all things that one can do if there is a concern around Alzheimer's risk.
And another thing I noticed about Jane's call, which Jane, thank you again so much for calling, was this idea of having to ask her doctor about therapy versus being offered. And, you know, there's this term that you use in your book, Dr. Moscone, the phrase bikini medicine, and you call it one of the major healthcare challenges of our time. Seems like a good connection with this call we just had. Can you say what bikini medicine is? Talk us through that a little bit.
Yes. So bikini medicine is saying that from a medical perspective, what makes a woman is those parts of the body that fit under a bikini. So our reproductive organs and nothing more. And this has been an issue in healthcare and research for centuries, really, because historically, medical professionals, clinicians, and scientists alike really believed that women were essentially smaller men with different reproductive organs. And that led to not studying women's brains, for example, as being different from men's brains. And for a very long time, the vast majority of research was done on men, right? And men don't go through menopause, which is one reason that menopause remains still today one of the most under-researched, undertreated and underdiagnosed fields of medicine, especially as far as the impact on the brain is concerned.
And what do you think needs to change to get that bias out of the system? I mean, it would take a long time, but what's in the way?
Well, I think that more and more women today are really standing up for themselves and for each other. And there's definitely a movement to reclaim and revamp menopause. There's so much stigma around menopause. There's a combination of ageism and sexism that has really done a disservice to so many women, because again, women are more than half of the population and all women go through menopause, and you have to beg for solutions and remedies, if you will, and just very little support in place. So I think on one hand, culture really needs to change, where menopause is embraced as one aspect of women's health and women's lives that, yes, it's natural. All women go through it, but the symptoms are very real, right? It's not all in our heads. And a lot of women really deserve attention and care, which should not be denied for sure. And also, women have really been thought to fear their hormones and doubt their brains, which is a very direct consequence of bikini medicine. So as scientists and clinicians, we really need to work to dispel these myths and have a better understanding of what happens during menopause and how to help women.
So there's this, speaking of debunking myths, and I'm looking at the clock, there's so many messages. I want to get through a couple more.
Oh, good.
One reads, there is so much conflicting information out there about the safety, cancer risk of therapy, bioidentical hormone therapy, but sadly little information about the safety or non-safety of bioidentical hormone therapy. What people tell me is I will get cancer if I don't stop the therapy in a couple of years. Any insight on the connection between that, whether that's true or a myth to be debunked?
So, well, I will tell you what professional guidelines are saying, which, you know, they're definitely the most conservative guidelines that we have, the most accurate in many ways. Until 2022, the recommendation was to take the lowest possible dose of hormones and stop as soon as possible. So it was a very conservative recommendation. As of 2022, that guideline changed to you do take hormones for as long as you need them. So there is no set date that you have to stop taking hormones, provided that there is no clear risk that the hormones may bring on to you. So in that respect, it's important to really work together with your PCP or with the OB-GYN, with the menopause specialist, perhaps, to make sure that you still need the hormones, right? That there's no reason to discontinue. And if there is a reason to discontinue, then it's important to know that as well. Mammograms are really important, and other tests can be done as well to assess risk together with a thorough family history evaluation.
And one more message here, and I should just point out, there is not conflicting information about the safety of hormone therapy. And like you said, Dr. Mosconi, very important to talk to your PCP, your OBGYN, yes, about this. And we've got just a little bit of time, but there's one more message I wanted to bring up. In addition to the medical and neurological aspects of menopause, what makes the period in women's lives so difficult, I find, is that it feels like a loss of things that our society values. But right. I would like to know how women's brains become stronger as a result of menopause. Essentially, what's the upside? Dr. Mosconi, got about 30 seconds. Let us know.
In 30 seconds, research shows that the brain rewires itself during menopause, and a few things are changing in ways that are actually supportive of a woman's intellectual activity and mental health after menopause. Some upsides are emotional mastery, which means that many women report that emotions like sadness or anger don't hold quite the same charge, but the capacity to sustain joy and gratitude are deepened after menopause.
We've been joined by Dr. Lisa Mosconi, the menopause brain. Thank you so much. We'll be back after this.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.